Hey, everyone, thank you so much for all of your support on our Patreon page that just launched. Go to patreon.com/lastpodcast on the left if you haven't given yet. If you want to support Last Podcast on the Left into the new year. And now, check it out. Leonard Lake and Charles Ng, part 3 of 4.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the Last Podcast
on the left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
It's an orphan getting food for the first time.
And just added that to the bevy of characters that are going to get you fired from Heroes this Thursday at 8 p.m. on NBC. Welcome to the Last Podcast on the Left, everyone. I am Ben Kissel, as always, with Marcus Parks.
Hey.
And then Henry.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it's always me every week. I never change.
No, you don't change.
I have no place to go.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're on part 3. This is going to be a 4-parter, huh?
Yeah, we were going to try to make it a 3-parter, but man, what the more we got into this story, the more we realized there's just not, you just can't leave anything out. It's just all too good. It's all too gruesome to skip over.
It
all
is right, a very course, sprawling and complex case.
Extremely right. So.
And once you get into the details, too, because the details are so muddled, we're trying to piece them all together for you.
And the case we're discussing is, of course, Leonard Lake and Charles Ng.
These two fucks.
Like, yeah, honestly, you don't like them, huh?
After getting back, it's like coming back into the research after doing the Christmas special with the Deck of Popcorn. Thank you for listening and indulging us.
Very good.
I was very happy with it. Once you get back into their world, you got more and more just being like, what? Two insufferable pieces of shit.
Right.
They are the worst. Can you imagine them as neighbors?
I know.
Just a big, tall, polyamorous.
A couple of people imagine them as neighbors, and it did not work out well.
No. They didn't wake up from that dream. No, and they were fucking, it's Leonard Lake is a twig swaggering polyamorous, probably his bush hair hanging out of his short shorts.
Oh, yeah.
Going on about how you want to see these pictures of the 16-year-old girl he balled back in the 84.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got his Asian goon, who, and the first time that you're going to put into this outline, is described as muscular.
Oh, he's described as muscular again and again.
But he's not.
He's a buff cookie.
He's like a buff cookie.
He's a buff cookie. I saw some pictures.
No. He is a Kim Jong-un.
Oh, Kim Jong-un has a lot of muscle underneath that fat.
No, yeah. That's what my dad kept saying about us.
Well, when we left off with Charles Ng and Leonard Lake, they had just slaughtered the entire Dubs family. And remember that Leonard Lake at this point is still on the run from the gun charges when the cops made the raid on their compound when they got a hold of Charles Ng.
But you say on the run as if Leonard Lake is fleeing from the cops.
No.
He made the choice to live off the grid. That's how Leonard Lake always validates things.
A truly free man.
Yeah, he's finally free.
Back in the 80s, you could do that.
Yeah, you really could. I mean, unfortunately, you still could not buy a used car if you're living outside the confines of the law.
Outlaw problems. Hashtag struggle is real.
Absolutely.
So after months of looking in the newspaper for just the right vehicle to continue Operation Miranda, Leonard Lake finally found the perfect vehicle in a 1980 Honda Prelude.
Now, nothing says get a woman into a sex basement to tire up, rape her, make her do your washing and your cooking like a beautiful, beautiful matte gray Honda Prelude.
A Honda Prelude.
And that brings us to our sponsorship for this episode, brought to you by the Honda Prelude.
Looking to go kill and murder and maim a woman? Why not try a Prelude?
And guess what? You can keep a dead baby in the glove compartment.
Sold!
So the owner of the car was...
I want it in bush hair brown. Unfortunately, we only have it in menstrual blood red orange peel orange. Orange peel?
We had no idea bush hair brown was going to sell out so fast. I'm sorry, sir.
So the owner of the car was a man named Paul Cosner. And in an extraordinary coincidence, Paul's sister, Donna, who had worked as a trapeze artist for Barnum and Bailey in the early 80s, had actually taken a photo with Sir Lancelot, the goat unicorn.
No shit!
That's something.
Honestly, yeah. And then we're going to find out that Paul Cosner, as in most cases of serial killers and the way they are caught, Paul Cosner is the thread that is going to end up pulling the whole Leonard Lake, Charles Ng case apart.
He's one of many threads. It all tends to come together. It all comes together in the end.
And it's got nothing to do with Paul. It's got exactly to do with the rapist special Honda Prelude.
Isn't that something?
So, either way, on November 2nd, 1984, Charles and Leonard met with Paul Cosner and killed him for the Honda Prelude. Evidence showed that they shot Paul in the back of the head as one of them rode in the back seat.
You never, ever go on a test drive with a dude in the front and a guy in the back.
No.
Again, do not sell shit off of Craigslist and bring them to your house. Don't bring them to your house.
This isn't Craigslist. This is scarier than Craigslist. This is the newspaper.
Yeah, this is personal ads, classifieds. This is the Thrifty Nickel.
You only buy a something from the Thrifty Nickel as if it's a boy or a girl. The only things you buy out of a newspaper. Or like a sander. Something that can't be used for crime. Something that can't be killed while testing.
Something you can hold in front of you and you don't have someone behind you with a gun.
Like a boy or a girl.
Yeah, okay.
So not too long after Charles Ng was released from Leavenworth, Leonard and Charles decided to try to get hired at a local moving company.
These two guys rolling up to fill out a fucking job application.
So while Ng went ahead and used his real name, Leonard Lake decided to instead use the last name Blake.
Good fake name. Brilliant. Again, Leonard Lake exhibiting his ability to make very believable fake names.
Yes. He put a B in front of his last name.
Yeah.
So that was no way they were going to find him there.
Can't question me. It's like Lake, but with the B. Meanwhile, he's saying that out loud at the application.
Blake. We'll just mark it down for Blake.
Yeah. You know what? You can go ahead and do that. And this is my friend Tongue Duck Quack.
No, I never changed the name. I Charles Ng and I'll be that way till the day I die. Charles Ng, oh, most mighty of the Ings.
Charles.
Oh.
That was his birth name.
Charles
Ng.
Oh, you write it down. Big Redis. I never use any small Redis. Only use capital. Because my name is very important. You don't know what I bring to friendship. What I bring to the movie company when you hire me there. I've sure showed you. Knee never bucker.
You're the only two that have applied, so I'm in a tough position.
I certainly am not afraid of cabinet.
Hired.
Well, yes, Charles Ng was hired. Leonard Lake was not, because Charles Ng was in much better shape than Leonard Lake, because at this point.
How do you lose a job to Charles Ng?
Because Leonard Lake had a Randy Quaid body.
I see.
And was not, he didn't decide he was the professional face of the moving company.
Well, you know, Dennis Moving Company would very soon come to regret their decision to hire Charles Ng, for Charles was an odd employee, to say the least. He, of course, continued his classic chants of...
No kill, no thrill, moved in mirror. Do not brick, it's bad wreck.
And?
No gun, no fun. What is this, an umbrella stand? Oh, you must be very rich. Have your own garbage can for umbrellas. But the thing is, with garbage can for umbrellas, you throw out the umbrellas.
He's got an easy last name to spell.
But a much more cryptic and creepy catchphrase had been added. This one was...
Daddy dies, mommy cries, baby fries.
Which is... He's really good at this. I'm going to say.
This is what the man was chanting as he was moving things out of someone's house.
Or into someone's house.
You paid this man. And then a squat... Kim Jong-un man with Jeffrey Dahmer glasses is chanting, daddy cries, daddy dies, mommy cries, baby fries,
just put the cabinet in the corner? Just put the cabinet...
Tell me, women can never make decision for where to put furniture. That is why they must be bound and wrapped and forced to wash and cook for you. Anyways, where do you want me to put it?
Just the corner. Just put it in the corner. Thanks.
Well, that's the thing. Is that what he would say is that later, when they asked him about this during the trial, this is what Ng would say he used these chants in the spirit of.
No. He's very jocular. Jocular type of rocker room talk. It was jocular.
Jocular.
No, yeah, I jerk around. And so what I say, how a teacher would say jerk around, I said jocular.
Jocular. Will the record show that he meant jocular?
How football guys jerk around.
Yeah. The no gun, no fun thing.
Yeah, it's fun. It's for just football players, lacrosse players. They get together and they all laugh about, no gun, no fun. It's fun.
Yeah.
Now be fun. You don't know what I bring to the movie company.
A lot of jocular attitude. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, super jocular. Mm-hmm. Well, the moving company, like, they did not take him seriously at all. Like, he was just, they just treated him as kind of an eccentric dude. And in fact,
he's working at a moving company.
Yeah, they drew little caricatures of, like, a little Chinese guy, of course, with the big glasses and the buck teeth. And they would write, "No kill, no thrill" above it.
And he loved it.
He loved it.
It's jocular.
That is jocular.
That is jocular. Yeah. That's boys having fun.
Yeah, sure. That's boys being boys. Super jocular. And of course, as everywhere Charles Ng went, some people did kind of like him. He had one friend. His name was Perry McFarland. And Perry ate dinner with Charles every once in a while. And in between moving jobs, they'd practice spin kicks in their spare time.
Fucking losers.
that's a good friend match. He should have stayed with
this
guy.
No. You kick fuck higher, okay? No. What you do here, you rook. I don't mean to offend. Never mean to offend. Oh, it's most honorable with people who are friends to Charles Ng. But I have to say, you look gay when you cook right, when you kick right that. Okay? So, yep, you gotta stick it up. Yep, make your foot real stiff. Make your butt. Zebra hat. Oh, now you're doing a kick for your kid.
We should do this before we eat next time.
Yes, I am nauseous.
Yeah. Always getting sick.
So, of course, most people did not like Charles Ng.
Because I got to tell you, Charlie, hanging out with this, it's like, I just don't think most people really understand what you bring to the table in a friendship.
That's what I said! Nobody understand!
I mean, at this point, the only thing that he does bring into the friendship is kicking pencils out of people's hands, right? That's really it.
But everybody had a friend like this. Yeah. I had a friend like this. Yeah. I definitely had a friend. It was this dude. Forget his name. I slapped him in the face. I got in trouble playing chess with him. I got mad with him. He's a Jehovah's Witness. But his whole thing was that he would hit himself all the time. And he'd like break stuff over his head. We're all like, this guy is great. God knows what he's doing.
You slapped a Jehovah's Witness over a game of chess?
Yes. I used to have rage issues. My sister once beat me in a game of Risk at this. We were having a vacation with my cousins and she beat me in the game of Risk. And I flipped the whole table.
Yeah.
So, of course, most of these employees, they did not get along with Charles. His main rival was a man named Charles Parenteau, who also happened to be the person who took a chance on the strange, oddly muscular Chinese man. During one argument they were having about the workload, Parenteau yelled, "You goddamned Chinaman, I never should have gotten you this job.
You don't think I got myself the job? Look at these strong shoulders. Look at these strong knees. You don't know what I bring to River Company. You don't know what I bring to Parenteau. What up, goody? Daddy, yeah. You don't know what I do. Me and my buddy Renner. I hate him. He hates when I say Renner. My friend Renner and I are going to have time with you.
You mean Leonard?
Renner.
Leonard.
You don't know what I bring to friendship.
Strong knees and strong shoulders. That's really all you need to move. That's good.
Yeah, and the ability to work well with others.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a team.
Movers don't talk to one another, do they? Aren't they busy moving?
I'm sure we have some people who do. I mean, if you listen to the podcast and you're a mover, tell us. Do you have friends? Do you work as a team? Is it important to keep a core understanding of what the job is?
So the Chinaman comment, among many other comments concerning Ng's Chinese ancestry, would eventually push Ng towards murder. Charles Parenteau disappeared on Super Bowl Sunday, 1985, the same day that local hero Joe Montana led the San Francisco 49ers to a 38-16 victory over the Miami Dolphins in Dan Marino's one and only Super Bowl appearance.
Thank you, Dog Meat. Is that fact just to attack Ed Larson?
Right.
From the round table?
Yeah.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Dan Marino never won a Super Bowl.
He never had a cheat. You know, he choked.
Dan Marino made it to one Super Bowl, and did he win it?
Nope.
He lost it.
He choked like George Bush on a pretzel. If you remember that bit.
I do. That was funny. Yeah, and then everyone made fun of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Lost to Joe Montana. Some would argue a superior quarterback to Dan Marino.
Yeah. Ooh, don't say that. That's fighting words. We're going to get some hate mail.
Charles Ng, it was game day. It was game day for Marino
and
Charles.
Everybody out there eating their buffalo ring. Everybody out there eating their tostada chip. You mix it in the salsa. Yes, I know, it's a savory snack and I enjoy it. But that is the day I use for most nefarious activity.
What's that?
Akira Permandeer! Richie Permandeer! How dare he make fun of him? Yeah, I don't know what I bring.
See the game, though?
Yeah, I mean, Jim Montana, very impressive. Impressive.
Yeah, Dan Marino, huh?
Dan Marino, real shit to bed.
Yeah, he really did, didn't he? Huh.
Later during the trial, Charles Ng would claim that he lured Parenteau to the cabin with the promise of a freelance moving gig. Now, Ng, who still to this day denies committing any murders himself, said that Lake shot Parenteau in the head, burned the body, and spread the charred bones around the property using a bucket. But this wouldn't be the only murder that Ng would commit at Dennis Moving Company. Another one of his co-workers, Jeff Gerald.
Strange combo of two first names as a whole name.
Yeah, Jeff Jerry. He was the bass player for the up-and-coming local rock band Crash and Burn.
Ooh. Oh, cool.
Yeah. He would go missing later on that year.
You remember, and they had that hit album that was almost hit. I think it hit number 1,014 on the charts called Margarita of Mayhem.
Oh, yeah, I love that song.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
It does remind me of, we did see, at Christmas, we saw
Steely Dan?
A Steely Dan cover band called Raised by Wolves.
Ooh.
R-A-Z-E-D.
Well, if you were raised by a wolf, how do you learn how to play guitar?
Listen to Steely Dan.
See, the reason why Jeff Gerald disappeared was because Ng had taken issue with Jeff leaving work for a week for quote-unquote personal reasons while still retaining his position of seniority. Mm. See, Ng believed that Jeff, he should have to start back at the bottom when he came back. How's he going to come back after leaving for personal reasons?
Where he go? Oh, sorry, where he go? Where Jeff?
It's a vacation. I think he's really exhausted.
Yeah? You don't think I know exhausted? Look at my eyes, how they squint. Oh, you make racist comment about how I age it. And I tell you, I just quit because my eyes tired. Got how many times I work at boxes?
Did you want to take any time off? We'd love if you took
this
time.
This would be like Vietnam. In Vietnam, things are fair. Things, people near where I brought to the Marines and then near where I brought to the middle of the company as a big senior officer. You can't do to you. Defend again. You can't. Daddy Josh, Mommy Chris, Baby Fletcher. I move Mira with most alacrity.
All right.
With most grace under fire.
Alacrity.
You alacrity, yes.
Yeah. Think of a fundamental misunderstanding.
Grace under fire.
Yeah.
That is what everybody say about Charles Ng. Oh, he a cute cucumber. Oh, he still wants to run deep with that Charles Ng. Oh, I should be senior officer. Oh, Jeff Jarrett. Oh, I'll kill you. Oh, I'll kill you with me and my buddy Reynard.
What was that?
It's Reynard, my best friend. Reynard. Yeah. Reynard.
All right, so you're going to kill him.
Best friend. Randy Quaid, buddy.
Oh, I see. Yeah, well, I recognize that.
That is what Ng said that actually happened. He said that when he was complaining to Leonard Lake about this situation, Lake told him, it should be like Nam, mm-hmm. as in Ng should just kill whoever he needed to in order to advance in the moving company, and kill Gerald he did, but no word on whether it actually worked
or not.
And
we remembered Leonard Lake spent Vietnam twisting dials far away from the war.
That's right.
Yeah. So as we said on the last episode, the actual timeline of Leonard Lake and Charles Ng's crimes is muddled, to say the least, at least from the sources that we have. If I could drive to California and look up missing persons reports, I would, but I can't.
Marcus would.
He totally would.
And I mean, his girlfriend would leave him, but he would.
She'd come with me.
She'd have to.
Mm. Fugitive couple, one with weird teeth, the other one a beautiful lady. They're in a 1980 prelude. Yeah.
Apparently they're going wait a second. Oh, that's the abductor special.
Yeah. Yeah, they actually got the pubic hair, whatever, brown.
Pubic brown? No way.
Yeah,
that's so rare.
Yeah.
Big trunk on that.
Mm, beautiful.
But at any rate, we believe that it's around this time that Leonard Lake and Charles Ng capture their first M lady. This is when shit gets a little bit serious. Kathleen Allen, she was a high school student working part-time in a supermarket in San Jose. Her boyfriend, Mike Carroll, was a local hood and drug dealer who had done time with Charles Ng in Leavenworth Prison, and he was still involved in various illicit dealings with Ng at the time of his disappearance.
Which I feel like at the same time, because Charles Ng and Leonard Lake were sort of And this time, like, we talk about with serial killers a lot, they were slowly ramping up.
Yeah.
Their crimes were kind of all over the place. Charles Ng, again, was a kleptomaniac, maniac. He was just a fucking maniac who would just go, he was doing everything that was dirty. He was a sneak. He was a liar. He would cheat everybody that he could. Anything. And basically just was surrounded by these hoods. And Mike Carroll just so happened to be dating Kathleen Allen, and much to, I mean, her bad luck.
Just, yeah. You know, get family to help you move.
Yeah,
you know, if you're moving,
friends,
family, give them some free pizza, some beer. They'll do it.
You got to do the maid trick with movers. You leave out a dish of coins,
right?
And
right,
you'll see if they take any of it. And what I have been doing is you run current through them.
So oh,
you hear them,
good.
You hear them laugh. You're going, and you see their skeleton, like a brass plate, and they're just nothing but a skeleton.
Oh, like the Joker in the first Batman movie.
Yes, you know, you have dishonest.
You electrocute the movers.
To the death.
To the death, okay.
So one night after finishing up his shift at Domino's, Mike Carroll told a coworker that he was heading up to San Francisco to buy some video equipment from a friend. Carroll was missing for 2 days before Kathy got a call at the Safeway where she worked. After the call ended, she told her supervisor that she needed to take at least 2 weeks off of work because her boyfriend had been shot and she needed to go take care of it.
So he left the Domino's, and then the girlfriend of the Safeway.
Yes.
This is a real American tale.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah, no, wow. This is heart of the country. And then, like, how many times has his manager heard that a cashier needs to leave because her boyfriend just got shot?
Yeah, classic Safeway, yeah.
And she's got to go take care of it, of course.
But now, in actuality, she received a call from Leonard Lake saying that we have your boyfriend, we are holding him hostage because he busted up a deal for us. And so you need to come basically as collateral to show up or bring us money.
Yeah, which is much like what happened with Charles Manson.
Yes.
It was the drug deal gone bad. Hey, you've got to come and bail this guy out. But for some reason, Kathy Allen, the best she could come up with was, he's been shot. I got to go take care of
because,
it.
Because, yeah, that just sounds vague enough to not be immediate crime problems. I don't know.
And Leonard Lake was about to eat his employee pizza as well from Domino's. Mm.
So the last anyone actually saw of Kathy Allen was her climbing into the 1980 Honda Prelude. And the last time she was heard from was later on that night when she called a friend to kind of tell her where she was going. The only things that she said about the man that was giving her a ride was that he was, quote-unquote, kind of weird, and kept insisting that he'd take pictures of her. But Kathy Allen kept telling her friend, listen, it's fine. I just want to let you know that I'm going to be out of town for a little bit, but don't worry about it.
Again, ladies who listen to the podcast, men even who listen to the podcast, it's easy to just say you're a photographer.
Right. Especially now,
because you could just say, oh, I take pictures, I do this, please, let me just see the nipples, and then take a picture of it. That no one is a photographer. There are like 10 real photographers.
It's like Robert Mapplethorpe.
The other guy, the rapist guy,
Terry Richardson.
The guy from who does the Oscars lines. The Getty images. Just them. There are no photographers.
No.
So just bet that they're not. Know they're not.
Everyone's taking pictures nowadays, though. It was creepier back then. I would assume this was a Polaroid or something.
Well,
right?
Yeah, because he had to fill the thing with the powder and then
shoot. That's from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That's the beginning of Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
So by the time Kathy showed up at the cabin, her boyfriend Mike was long dead.
But she didn't know this.
She did not know this. And this was something that Leonard Lake and Charles Ng would use on all of their captives to kind of hang over their head. But Kathy would be the first of two women that we know of to suffer from videotaped psychological and physical torture at the hands of Leonard Lake and Charles Ng as their M Lady. This is the culmination of a fantasy that Leonard Lake has had since he was a teenager.
Which is very interesting because in his first video diary entry, he explains, which I think is indicative of who he is as a person, that he said, I wonder how far I'll go with these videos and my ideas. And it's, I'm not saying it's laudable, But he definitely fulfilled his dreams. And he made it happen.
He did.
Yeah.
And
he followed through.
It's really fucked up because he really did. In order to make this happen, he had to go through such efforts. This is really showing just how much maniac Leonard Lake is. In order to have a sex dungeon, you are already put into the top 3 percentile of horrible maniacs that exist in the world.
I would say 2.
I'm not going to say that it was that difficult of a thing. It's not like, I mean, he wasn't renting the damn place out in Williamsburg, for Christ's sake.
Well, the point
it was a shit dungeon.
But he had to keep killing people to take their IDs. That was hard.
I think you're giving him a little bit too much credit. It's pretty easy to just kill someone and put him in a dungeon.
You're saying that very flippantly, like,
No. I don't know. I mean, really, he kind of makes, I mean, Ario, if Ario Castro can do it.
I know, it's true. Yeah. There's a lot of borderline retarded people that have held people hostage as sex slaves for a long time.
But on the other hand, you know, it's like, you can't,
I'm not saying it's good.
No, it's not good. No, we do not endorse it.
No, of course not. But you know what? You can't, you know, measure a fish by how well he can climb a tree, you know?
You've been in Texas for too long.
This is the problem. You had too long of a Christmas break.
Good Lord.
With all your nature analogies. Oh, that's just, oh, I might as well just give a horse a hat. Well, if you're going to be going, you might as well give a biscuit some boots.
Right.
You're going to go ahead and rape a woman in a closet.
I'm voting for biscuits and boots for mayor.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a pretty contentious mayor race going on in Jayton, Texas right now. So, you know, it's not polite. It's not good to talk about.
A guy named, like, Jay Farrell and a fucking crock pot full of stew.
Oh, but I love stew. I love stew.
I like stew. Stew's honest.
Stew and never lie.
Now it's back to serious.
Now it's back to super serious, like awful. Okay, yeah. So all of the M-Lady, quote-unquote, sessions, for lack of a better word, I don't really know what else to call it, were eventually found on one videotape in a plastic barrel buried in Leonard's front yard. So in the first session with Kathy, she's seen sitting fully clothed on a recliner with her hands tied around her back, and she is absolutely petrified. It's almost like she is incapable of moving.
Well, it's absolutely, because when you're a part of something so shocking, I think that's an interesting thing to talk about, because we always kind of talk about, like, if you're a victim of this, or if you're being held hostage, or if you're being kidnapped, you want to say you'd be freaking out and fighting and going to the edge, but it's like, honestly, shock comes over the body pretty quickly.
You know what I'd do?
What?
I'd make an Iron Man suit.
Hey, somebody's thinking.
Yeah.
So, somebody's thinking.
Somebody's really thinking. With that little buddy that's in there with you.
Yeah.
The cell that's, you know, looking for revenge for his family.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
She'll
be friends with Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah. So. She's got a whole Iron Man recipe on Goop.
Right. Yeah. Great name for a website.
Yeah. But Henry's absolutely right. When you talk to a lot of people, the fight or flight, people talk about the fight or flight instinct. Sometimes neither one happens.
You just go into shock.
Yeah, it's just full-on shock.
You don't believe it's happening
exactly.
to you.
Your brain pops a gasket. Something completely pops. And people talk about this in huge disasters. People talk about this in 9/11 and the Oklahoma City bombings and suicide bombings around the world. A lot of people just talk about these unbelievable things that happen. Your brain just doesn't compute, and you just kind of stand there.
Or if you talk about, in terms of, like, in watching Making a Murderer, when they talk about eliciting the confessions from Brendan Dassey. When you watch this kid, a lot of it's also kind of disbelief. I mean, Brendan Dassey was just also developmentally disabled. He had a learning disability. And trying to get a confession out of him, you just kind of believe, like, oh, if I just follow these people's orders, I'll be done, and then I can go home.
Same thing with the kid in the West Memphis 3 case. You know, it's like the same thing that happens in the, you know, all the satanic panic stuff. Right. It's just like, well, if I just follow along with this, then if I just go with the flow, then I can get out of here. I can go home.
Because no one really believes that what you're going to do is lead to your death or your permanent, like, incarceration.
Yeah.
So you just kind of handle it. And this is it's very brutal. The videos are very brutal.
Yeah. Same thing with goats.
What?
Goats will just, they'll go right down.
You spent too long alone on Christmas.
No, goats will go right down.
Oh, the fainting goats.
You scare a goat, it'll go right down.
But you know the thing about a goat?
I swear to God, I watched the Animal Planet.
I know,
but you scare a goat, it goes down.
But you can also just feed a goat. Goats are meant to stay in cages.
Yeah.
Goats are captive animals.
Nothing's meant to stay in a cage.
Goats are meant to be on roofs.
That's right.
Well, that is a Texas thought. Oh. I think goat's supposed to be in my Jamaican stew. Mama, like that goat stew.
Well, as far as speaking to your point about if you just go along with this, then everything will be okay and maybe you'll get out of this. The beginning of the video, Leonard Lake's just, he's kind of explaining to her like what her life's going to be like for the next couple of weeks. And this is what he said kind of, and also, yes, the videos are out there, but the sound quality is so low and so garbled that if we played it right now, you wouldn't be able to understand it without subtitles.
Yeah, so that's what, it's sad.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to actually hear his voice. But I'm not going to do his exaggeration. I mean, he's just exactly as you imagine him.
He's just deadpanned, dead-souled, dead-voiced, kind of, it's almost, it's just a matter of fact, almost boring.
And vaguely condescending as well.
Super condescending.
Toy box killer-esque, huh?
Yes.
Yeah very much so. But this is what he said to Kathy after explaining to her what was going to happen.
If you don't go along with this, we're going to take you into the bed, tie you down, shoot you, and bury you.
And that's pretty in line with the type of threats that he makes to Kathy from then on.
Because then he believes he was in total control.
Yeah.
And their confidence has gotten so huge at this point that they really do believe that they are, that then being nice to them for not immediately killing them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're justifying themselves at every turn. So the third one is actually the most disturbing. The third shows Kathy Allen lying on a bed wearing nothing but cut-off jean shorts. Her wrists are handcuffed. Her ankles are bound. Leonard, he's taken pictures of her, acting like it's just another modeling session. And that's what really makes this creepy, is that you see, after hearing for so long about Leonard Lake doing these photo sessions, taking all these photos of these nude and scantily clad women, most of which he's just kind of talked them into, you really see it. And you really see how he sees these women.
Well, he truly does mean it when he says, "I want an off-the-shelf lover." Yeah. This is what this is what he's always wanted. It's this pedantic, like, kind of male view of, it's very strange, of like keeping this woman captive, and so that he could do whatever he wants with her, completely use her as a piece of meat, yeah, and it's only for his sexual fantasy. He's a horrible human being.
Yeah. And this is what he tells her as he is taking photos.
"I told you there's a lot of things I'd like to do with you that I know you wouldn't like. And even though it shouldn't make any difference to me in terms of what you like and what you don't like, I've tried to respect your feelings as best as I can in these matters. On the other hand, when I tell you to do things, I tell you things that are very important to me that I want you to do."
Wow, wow, wow.
Nerd alert. This guy is such a jerk off. This
well, yeah,
is what happens when a nerd that is bullied, or not, he was never bullied, but someone who is not seen upon as like a tough dude by other guys, as soon as they have a little power, this is exactly what they sound like.
It's exactly what we've been talking about the last two episodes. It's like, this is the attitude of like the internet guy, the ineffectual internet nerd. The types of things that you hear Leonard Lake say, the types of things that you read about that he wrote in his journal, it's the same things that you'll see if you go to a Reddit thread and like the men's rights.
Oh, all of that shit. It's a guy who shoots in like 5 seconds as soon as he touches her. He like comes in his pants
and
all the time.
Blames
and then,
the woman.
Yeah. And then believes that, you know, that women are playthings and they're not equally. It's someone who has no understanding. And because of the internet, in our time and age, it's like these are people that are increasingly more isolated. And porn in that way is very bad because it kind of just watches these women who are suppliant, live things that only do things that like basically are like sex slaves and sex crazed.
And speaking of porn, I'm sure a lot of people looked at these photos and things like that, and that got off on them and all that. We'll definitely get
later into what Leonard Lake might have done with some of these videos. And I'm sure people, you're right. I'm sure people watch these videos that are online, and I'm sure it fucking turns them right the fuck on.
But I understand being into consensual like BDSM stuff.
Oh, totally absolutely. Yeah, that's totally different. There's zero wrong with that. Like that is a healthy fantasy, but Leonard Lake's fantasy involves it being real.
Well, it's about, you know, but truly unable to do anything for yourself and to think for yourself. That is the thing that makes him most sexually excited, is someone that is completely under his dominance. Somebody who is like a middle manager. You know what I mean? He's just one of the, he's just a piece of shit. Yeah. He reminds me of my boss at Borders in Tallahassee, who used to wear pewter rings.
Oh, yeah.
He used to, like, talk about how he's just like, well, we should all do sometimes. It's like, maybe after work we could all get a drink and stuff like that. He just wanted to fuck everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I always dress, if I ever play around with a gal and we have role play, and she is dressed like Darth Vader and I'm a stormtrooper and I do the dishes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a thing I do.
That makes me upset inside.
It's a good way to do the dishes.
Yeah, that's a real weird...
Specific.
I mean,
it hasn't worked yet.
Yeah.
I'm completely unaroused.
Also, like, it's very commercially viable.
Yeah.
And trendy.
Right.
Super trendy.
On fleek.
Is that right?
That is on fleek, bae.
Oh, my God.
That is not ratchet.
Ugh.
What you're saying.
I'm going to edit all that out.
SMH.
What is that?
SMDH. Shake my head.
So everything's SMH.
Side eye.
Side eye.
Man, I'm feeling that.
Ratchet.
So in between sessions, Kathy was held prisoner in the bunker that had been years in the making for Leonard Lake, both physically and mentally. This is something that he had spent years thinking about, and it's something that he spent years constructing. At first glance, the bunker seemed like just a normal storage shed, tools hanging from the walls, shovels, picks, and such. But if you turned around, you'd see a wall covered from top to bottom in photos of naked or scantily clad women. Have you guys ever seen a shed like this?
Most sheds are like this.
Yeah, most sheds, actually.
This is how janitors live, right?
We had a janitor, Bob, in middle school, I'm pretty sure. It was deer pictures and women.
Yeah.
So I don't know what he was jerking off to.
Both.
Yeah.
That's a problem. They begin to cross streams. They're just like, I just wish I could be normal.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I wish I could sit at a desk and said, I got a mop. The
death. Mm-hmm. Well, he had a great magazine called Deer Chicks.
It's just a dead deer next to a woman's spread eagle. And they're like, which hole does the pole go?
Right. Kind of a choose your own adventure type.
So if you went further into... So if you did a little bit of a closer inspection of the actual shed, you could see that there was a bookcase that you would be able to move. And behind the bookcase was a door that led to a narrow passageway. The first stop was a chamber that police who discovered it would later call the living area. And in here they found a bed, a table with a lamp, a dresser, and of course, a copy of The Collector on the bookshelf.
Nerd!
He's such a jerk off.
Nerd! Super unbelievable.
And at the end of the passageway sat the prison cell itself. It was 3.5 feet wide by 6.5 feet long and totally soundproofed. On one end of the room was a 2.5 foot wide platform with a foam rubber pad resting on top. And on the other end was a 5-gallon plastic bucket and a roll of toilet paper. And on one of the walls was just a big one-way mirror that faced into the living area.
And what they found on the other side of the mirror was a chair. And next to it was a night vision goggles. So the idea is that he would shut off all of the lights in the whole area and watch her through night vision goggles.
Like Silence of the Lambs.
Yes.
Mm.
It's a lot like Silence of the Lambs.
I just think he liked the night vision goggles. I don't want to make too much of a joke about it, but it's just, what an asshole.
Yeah, it's super asshole stuff, but it's also about the terror.
It's also extra Marines of him.
Yeah, it's extra Marines, but it's also about seeing a woman in complete and total pitch darkness, in absolute terror, in absolute misery, and knowing that he caused it, and that he was in complete and total control of this woman. And this is how, and he also had a list of rules to be in complete and total control of this woman. On the opposite wall of the two-way, of the one-way mirror, there was a list of rules typed all in caps. This is what it said.
1. I must always be ready to service my master. I must be clean, brushed, and made up with my cell neat. 2. I must never speak unless spoken to. Unless in bed, I must never look my master in the eye, but must keep my eyes downcast. 3. I must never show my disrespect, either verbally or silent. I must never cross my arms or legs in front of my body or clench my fists, and unless eating, must always keep my lips parted. Number four, I must be obedient completely and in all things. I must obey immediately and without question or comment. Number five, I must always be quiet when locked in my cell. Number six, I must remember and obey any additional rules told to me. I must understand that any disobedience, any pain, trouble, or annoyance caused by me to my master will be grounds for punishment.
And that was about the only thing that these women had to stare at for days, maybe even weeks. We don't know for sure how long these women were kept in this cell. We don't know how many videos were actually made. There are rumors that videos of these women's actual rape and murder were sold to a private erotica collector, but there's absolutely no proof that I know of to back that up. But considering how Lake was in the habit of selling homemade tapes of Cricket playing the part of his M-ladies, it's not the most far-fetched concept around.
Well, he seems like, because he's been sharing their homemade porn for years.
Yeah, right.
They've been already doing this. So I feel like it would just go out there, and there are a lot of people, especially at the time, can you imagine having to go to a private erotic salesman to get this stuff? That's where the real snuff stuff, that was the stuff was like shown at like Rob Lowe's and Charlie Sheen's parties back in the 80s came from.
Yeah.
Sure.
And if you guys have ever seen these, I don't know if you've ever seen these, but you know, remember in Twin Peaks, the magazine that Laura Palmer and Ronette Pulaski placed the ads in? Have you guys ever actually seen one of those?
Like truck stop magazines.
Like truck stop personals. Sure. Or no, these aren't truck. These are swingers magazines. These are these back in the day were ads that swingers would put in, and they would send naked pictures to other swingers. They would send videos to other swingers. And that's the type of world that he was living in. Sure, porno stores existed back then. Plenty of them. But these were people that got off on the grittiness of it. Mm. These are, you know, to this day, that was old school amateur porn. Back then, that's how you got amateur porn. You had to make friends with the amateurs first.
That's one thing I'll say thank you to the internet for.
Yeah. Because I love amateur porn, but I definitely wouldn't make friends with, I don't know, Leonard and Cricket to get some.
Can you imagine them having a hangout? It's like having a weed dealer who like hangs out for 25 minutes just like talking about soccer. Like having a talk with them.
I mean, yeah, definitely. You just want to smoke the weed. But I mean, I guess you can smoke weed with your drug dealer, but you can't exactly jerk off with your porn, smut peddler.
Actually, I think you can. Yeah, you can. He's like, yeah, you want to test the wares? Meanwhile, Cricket's just going like, yeah, aim for the wet hoe. Waiting for the spot. She's gyrating next to the fireplace.
Well, you know, maybe if that's the case.
She's all snaggly toothed. Uh-huh.
Leonard Lake, after this, after Kathleen Allen, he returned to his journal, which he no longer hand wrote everything. After Kathleen Allen, he started typing everything. And this is what he typed.
I have learned that my programming in my youth, which is called morality, either was not given or was given poorly. To all purposes, save a very few, I have no morality. In terms of life or death, neither seem to move me.
Why is it that guys like this always have the same vocabulary? They have the same cadence. They have the same...
It's dickhead language.
It's dickhead language, exactly. It's a guy who couldn't go to be a cop language.
Yes, yeah. Exactly what it is. It's that military style, too. They just believe they're superior to everybody else.
It's condescending towards humanity. It's talking to yourself as if you are the only person in the world who can possibly understand your genius.
Which is true. And then this whole time, Charles Ng was just cooking in the kitchen. He was forced to cook most of the time. We'll talk about this.
So Lake and Ings next, and as far as we know, last victims would possibly be their most tragic and certainly their most cruel. Lonnie Bond, 27, Brenda O'Connor, 19, and their infant son, Lonnie Bond Jr., moved to a house not 100 yards from Leonard Lake's cabin in January of 1985. Leonard and the couple took an almost immediate dislike to each other. Lake introduced himself as Charles Gunner.
Fat Charles.
Fat Charles. And told them that he was a quote-unquote professional photographer.
Oh, okay. And he's just like, hey, just let me know, did your baby have tits? Because that'd be great if your baby had tits. I'd really like to take pictures of a baby with tits.
I don't know why they didn't get along.
Hi, my name's Skinny Charles. Skinny Charles.
Interesting.
Well, as a gesture of goodwill, when they first moved in, he took some photos of them as a family, like a nice little, it's like, yeah, you know, I'm a professional photographer. I'll just take some candid photos of you guys. Just like, hey, we're neighbors. Let's start off on the right foot.
First thing, boys, girls, how about we switch tops, huh? Okay. Okay. Now, switch pants.
All right, now that we made some money, let's make some art.
Terrifying.
So less than a month after the family moved in, Lake had gone from the weird guy next door to a full-blown, as Bond put it, quote, real pain in the ass.
Yeah, he's over there in his coochie cutters talking about how it's the end of the world and the cyanide tablets and how he's got, like, you know, you got to come over the house and see his pornos with your 16-year-old girl. And they're just like, man, this fucking guy is just not leaving this potluck.
He is a pain in the ass.
He brought nothing.
Yeah.
He brought half a can of warm Schlitz and the 3-year-old cranberry sauce lid.
I like the Schlitz, but yeah.
So not only did he constantly, and this is somewhat ironic, he would constantly complain about Bond's use of guns on his own property for target practice. Because if we remember, using guns was what got Leonard Lake kicked out of the idyllic ranch community in the first place.
Well, in Buddhism, they say that which upset us about others is that which is most true about ourselves.
Isn't that something? Yeah. Powerful.
Not only that, but his requests for pictures were now directed towards Brenda alone.
Weird, though.
We're getting super forceful.
Weird. Why would that happen? That's weird.
And the other person involved in this whole scene was Lonnie's. And the other person involved in this whole scene was Lonnie Bond's best friend, Scott Stapley, who was also the co-founder of the San Diego chapter of the Guardian Angels.
Oh,
yeah. That's a volunteer neighborhood watch type group that was started here in New York City in the 70s.
The last time tough dudes wore berets.
Mm-hmm. And it all came to a head in late April of 1985. From what we can piece together from comments made by Lake and Ng during their subsequent video sessions with Brenda O'Connor, it appears that Leonard invited the couple, their child, and their friend Scott over for dinner and managed to separate Brenda from the men. And since the men were obviously a very real threat and the baby was worse than useless to Lake and Ng, it's thought that those three met relatively quick deaths, but evidence suggests that they were probably toyed with at least for a little while before they were actually killed.
Well, they said about Paul, and I'm sure happened the same thing to these two men, is that Paul had a gun stuck in his mouth when they found him, and his teeth were all broken by the barrel of the gun.
Oh.
Well, what they found with these men, they found that they had both had ball gags in their mouths. And their wrists and their ankles were bound, and there was obvious with them. They had tried to struggle quite hard to
of
get
course.
Free, but there was obvious evidence of them trying to get free. And they had both been shot in
the
head. You
gotta follow the ball gag.
What?
There's
what?
A store running out of ball gags.
It was only
follow the ball. How many ball gags do these people have?
That's true. No, they were making their own ball
gags. They were making the ball gags?
Yeah, that's how you do. You don't.
They went to El Dorado's and you just buy a ball gag.
No, how many times do you walk around looking for a ball gag? Like, hey,
I don't
a ball
do
game?
It that often. I'm just saying, they're making homemade ball gags.
No, he's a truly free man, Ben.
They're indie.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
It's DIY.
Check the receipts for the ball gags.
So concerning the baby, now we know that the two men were killed with shots to the head. Concerning the baby, Charles Ng would later say that Leonard Lake killed Lonnie Bond Jr. by putting the baby's head between his thighs and twisting the upper body. And this was at Charles' request, who wanted it done quickly. Ng also said that the men were actually shot by Lake in their own home while Brenda was out shopping, but context clues from various sources point towards Ng murdering everyone except Scott Stapley. And the next time anyone saw Brenda, she was tied to the same chair that Kathy Allen was tied to months or even weeks before.
And this is the video that you'll see when you look up Leonard Lake Charles Ng videos, if you do, if you're a monster like I am, and you see a bare-chested Leonard Lake with his beer gut hanging over his pants, and he's cutting the clothes off of her with the scissor.
Yeah, and Lake spends a fair amount of time teasing about whether Brenda's family is dead or alive, the same thing he did with Kathy Allen. And most of what he talks about is just, I mean, it's just absolute nonsense. And he tells Brenda that her baby is going to be given away to a family in Fresno. But I think that these statements that he makes, I think they're... He's being confusing and kind of obtuse on purpose. He wants her to be confused. He wants her to be completely disoriented.
It's telling her, because this is what he was saying. Up to this point, she'd been struggling. It's saying whatever he could say to her to get her to stop struggling so that it will be easier for him to get her into the other room.
Yeah.
That's just all he's doing. He's just throwing out nonsense. Yeah. He's just saying whatever it was to get her to shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is horrible.
Yeah. And this is when Lake told her what he actually had in store for her.
Brenda, you have a choice. We'll give it to you right now. You can cooperate with us. By cooperating with us, that means you will stay here as our prisoner. You will work for us. You will wash for us. You will fuck for us. Or you can say, no, I don't want to do that. In which case, we'll tie you to the bed. We'll rape you. Then we'll take you outside and shoot you. Your choice.
Of course, this woman is absolutely terrified. She's, as far as she knows, her baby and her husband's life is on the line, and she says, I'll cooperate. And later on, when Charles Ng comes into the scene, he says,
you can cry and stuff like the rest of them, but it won't do you no good, that's for sure. You're pretty cold-hearted, so to speak. I don't joke around before I do bad things. Because it's only when I do the moving things I joke around about what I bring to friendship. You want genocide chicken?
Charles Ng made genocide chicken for the woman.
In this scenario.
In this scenario. Okay. Just want to make that good.
In this scenario, to try to lighten the horrible
horrors
that we've been talking about for like the last 10 minutes or so.
And it's hard to do the Charles Ng voice seriously.
It's hard to do the Charles Ng voice seriously, but I felt that it was important to include that statement.
I think so too. He was a part of it.
He was a part of it, and what this also implies is when he says, you can cry and stuff like the rest of them. That implies, rest of them
they've
done this a lot. That it wasn't just Kathy Allen, that there was a lot of other victims.
And when we cover the trial, this is how Charles Ng's trying to downplay his role and everything. But this is basically what puts him in jail forever.
Yeah, this is, one of a few things that put him in jail. But really, what puts Charles Ng in jail more than anything else is defending himself on the stand.
We can't wait until
the testimony of Charles Ng.
It's everything he's ever done. Everything he's ever done is supposed to have put him in jail. He's not a slick customer.
Are we saving everything else for part four?
That's part four, man.
All right. Is that the end of part three?
Absolutely not.
I can't take anymore. There's no more. I can't take anymore.
Absolutely not, but it almost is.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, we don't know exactly how long Brenda was held captive for, but we do know that it was at least 2 months between her capture and the capture of Leonard Lake and Charles Ng. And that is the end of part three. We'll be back on the next episode.
Good Lord.
With their capture, Leonard Lake, how he responds to capture, and how Charles Ng responds to capture.
All right.
I tell you what. He's loud.
Yeah, terrible stuff.
This is a heavy way to bring in 2016.
Yeah.
We're
ending 2015 with this one, and we're bringing in 2016 with part four of Leonard Lake and Charles Ng.
Do you have resolutions? Do people have New Year's Eve resolutions?
Yeah, taking better care of my teeth. I bought an electric toothbrush and some new mouthwash to heal up my gums a little, because they are bleeding.
I don't know. I don't have any resolutions, but I asked Ed Larson if he had any, and his was to go to New Orleans. So
actually, that's a pretty great resolution.
It's a travel plan. That's not a resolution.
His resolution is to travel more.
But that's what I said.
No, but you can't just say go to New Orleans.
I'm just skipping the middleman.
That's what you gotta do. You got to travel more. You have to make a decision to travel more, and I want to travel more, and also I'm getting my vertical up to 13 inches.
Oh, very good.
Vertical leap.
You've been practicing jumping?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
How's it going?
13 inches, that's it?
I'm at a 4.
Not a Spud Webb type.
No. No. I got the Spud part.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Oh, man. All right. To all acquaintances we forgot.
That's right. What a bunch of dickheads. Let's see. And they're, you know what? I guess the New Year's resolution will be, as the one that was last year, continue to do great work here on Cave Comedy Radio and bring you guys the best product possible.
Thank you so much to people who donated to the Patreon campaign.
Oh, yeah, my God.
It really is a life-changing thing for us, and we really, really appreciate that. So that's the resolution that I have, is continue to grow with CCR.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank everybody who donated to the Patreon campaign. We're going to be start sending out all of our all of the extra stuff that we promised to the people that donated $20 and up. We're going to start releasing bonus content in the first week of 2012. We're going to be putting out bonus content every 2 weeks, and we've got some super fun stuff planned for you guys.
We really do,
and you're going to absolutely love it. We're going to start doing shout outs next episode to all of the people who donated to the campaign. But before we do that, I would like to give a shout out to a man named Ben Liberty, who's got happy birthday coming up this year.
Hey, all right.
Happy birthday, Ben Liberty. You're a part of what makes Mark great.
That's right. Liberty and Ben's.
Yes, Ben's and Liberty's. Of course, we all know that. So, happy birthday, Ben. Awesome.
Happy birthday, Ben. I hope that Satan blesses you with a bigger set of balls this year.
That's right.
That's technically cancer, but it'll be fine. It'll be fine once you get done.
Yeah.
It's a good story.
Yeah. Post-puberty, you want your balls to pretty much stay the same there. After. Yeah.
Please follow us on our new Instagram page.
Yes.
We have just set this up. It is LP on the left.
Just like our Twitter.
Yes. It's at Instagram, at LP on the left. And what we're trying to do is, like, if you got pictures of your shirts, like, hashtag Magoostalations, put them up there. We'll copy and paste and we'll put them up there. We're going to do pictures of us in the studio and shit like that. But the idea is, like, I want to foster an idea where it's like, if you see somebody with, like, a shirt on, they got Last Podcast on the left shirt, and you, like, work in an ice cream store, give them free ice cream.
Free ice cream.
If you work at a bar, give them a free beer.
Just free ice cream.
Just one, though. All right, guys, holy shit, please do not fucking take advantage of this Last Podcast and Last gift we are giving you.
It technically relies on them to do it.
Yes.
And lose money for their own business.
Yes.
Right.
But they're not owners of businesses.
Yeah, who gives a fuck? You know what I mean, man? That's money out of fucking a fat cat's pocket.
Right.
And if you want to get your very own Last Podcast on the Left t-shirt, go to cavecomedyradio.com/merch. And we've got a lot of really cool merch, new merchandise planned for the new year.
Awesome. Well, 2016 is going to be a great year for Cave Comedy Radio. Politics are heating up for April Against Top Hat, and Roundtable has always a series of stories. Entertainment will be huge for Page 7.
Mm-hmm.
And Marcus is still mentally impaired, so sex and other human activities will be great.
That's never going away.
That's great. Yeah. That is great.
That's something I'm going to have to deal with for the rest of my life.
Things are going fine.
No, they are. No, we're crushing. So thank you guys so much for listening. Hail yourselves.
And Hal Gein.
Hail me!
Hail Satan as well, if you would. Also, at Henry Loves You.
Oh, yeah, that's right. At Henry Loves You on Twitter, at Marcus Parks on Twitter, and I'm at Ben Kissel on Twitter.
And one more thing, you know, if I've been talking about my Spotify playlist, I just finished the 80s just yesterday. So go to Spotify, follow me on there, and subscribe to my playlist. So far, I've got 1950 to 1989.
And donate to that Patreon campaign. Every dollar fucking helps us only do this show, and that would be amazing.
Patreon.com/lastpodcast on the left.
You'll see. Again.
For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to cavecomedyradio.com.